Matthew 6, starting in 16. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is a lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is this darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. You can go ahead and be seated. Here we are at the beginning of a brand new year, and there is all kinds of things that are vying for our attention. We're all making lists, we're all making goals, some of us are making resolutions, and it is of no coincidence that we're going to start the year off talking about what it looks like to seek first the Lord. You know, here we are where we start a new year, we've got the first Sunday of a new year, the first month of the new year, there are people who are here for the very first time thinking, I'm going to step in and give this thing a shot. I'm going to find a church home. And so we, as a staff team, we thought, well, you know what we want to do is, much like happens when you try to do a little maintenance on your cars. You ever been in a situation where you have a maintenance light come on? If you're on a road trip and that light comes on, you're trying to find a spot to pull off so that you're going to evaluate some things and see what's going on. You're checking everything. Well, that's kind of what we thought we needed to do as a church. We need to take some time here at the very beginning of the year and just kind of pull off a little bit. Let's do a little maintenance work. Let's do a little checking. Let's kind of see what is it that is going on in our lives and our hearts and our minds. Because oftentimes, I don't know about you, this happens with me. If I'm not careful, I just kind of get up the next morning and press play. It's just like, okay, do what I did yesterday. And we can find ourselves in a situation where we're just doing the same thing over and over, not thinking about what we're doing. And before long, what ends up happening if we're not maintaining our vehicles, that front right wheel starts to wobble. And as that front right wheel wobbling should tell you, you need to stop. Some of you today, you've got some things that are wobbling in your life, if you will. You may be a little anxious about some things. You may be here at the very beginning of the year, and this is one of those things where you stepped into church, you thought, I'm going to go back to church. That's going to fix everything. Well, here we are. Here we are. Whether you're in that situation or not, the Lord has called us, we believe, at the beginning of this year to stop for a few moments. 3 days, as a matter of fact. 365 days in a year. Can we give 3 days just to pull off and evaluate, hey, where am I? What is it that's going on? Do you know every major movement in our church in LifePoint Church has happened, when the Lord has moved, it's happened because of the times of prayer and fasting. Do you know, all throughout Christendom, whenever there's been a revival that has taken place, it's always started out of prayer and fasting. And so I'm hopeful. I'm asking the Lord, Lord, will you do something in us? Not just LifePoint, but in us. You realize we're LifePoint Church. And if something's going to happen in LifePoint Church, that means it has to happen in us first. And so, Lord, will you do something in our lives? Lord, we want to set aside some time where we, as a fast, forego some good things, good gifts of God. We want to forego some things so that we can go after the gift giver, who is the greater portion. That's what we want to take some time to do. Some things that we do in our life, I call them first responses, the very first things that we do. Have you ever thought about the very first thing? Think for just a moment. The first thing you do in the morning when you wake up. The very first thing you do. Well, usually after you go to the restroom, you then go get a cup of coffee. Just being real with you, all right? You're going to go get a cup of coffee. You're going to go hydrate. You're going to do something like that. Ladies, let me ask you this. Can you remember the very first thing you did or the very first feeling you had when they handed you a baby? Handed you your baby. Guys, if you got married in a church, do you remember what it was like when the doors opened and you saw that very first look? You saw them. For me, I melted. I mean, my father-in-law is having to hold me up once he gets up there and brings Amy to the front. I melted. First things. You know, first things say a lot about us. They can say what's hidden in our heart. They can talk about what's priority. And we can try to hide some of those things, but you realize they're always going to leak out. It's always going to leak out. There are some things that we do that are first responses that are instinctive. Do you remember going to the doctor? You've been to the doctor, and he wants to test your reflexes. He asks you to cross your leg over to the other knee, and he hits you right in that spot. And what does your knee do? Hopefully your knee does this. It has that little instinctive reflex. This happens. Do you know that there are some first responses that are conditioned? They're conditioned. You're conditioned to do these types of things. Now, once you're conditioned, you just do them. It's like when you're driving in a car, you learn to drive and you learn, oh, I should stop at that red light or that red sign that says stop, I should stop right there. Now then you're at a point where you're conditioned. You see a red light, you begin to let off the brake and you come to a stop. That's a good first response. Well, listen, we have first responses that we should be taking and examining right here at the beginning of the year. And in Jesus' most important sermon that he gave in Matthew chapter 6, he leaves us no chance to wonder what we should be seeking first at the beginning. Matthew 6:33 tells us that we should be seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to spend some time right there, but it's very important to me that I want to back up a little bit, all right? I want you to look at verses 16, 17, and 18 really quick. Verses 16, 17, and 18. I'm going to run quickly, okay? Today, you may feel like you're on a jet ski hitting the tops of the waves. I'm not going to stop and drill deep because I'm going to ask you during our fast time to spend some days meditating on Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 34. So I want to lay the groundwork. Really what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk you through a forest and I'm going to pick up some leaves and point them out to you. And I need you to know the leaves I'm going to point out to you are just leaves. There's a lot of gold left on the ground that I want the Spirit to reveal to you during this time frame. Verses 16, 17, and 18 say this, "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." I'm going to give you part of what I'm going to do and how I fast. This will be the first thing I read each morning. Matthew 6, 16 through 18 will be what I read because I want to be reminded that, hey, I need to get up. What my fasting is not for everyone else. Because, and he says, when you fast, the expectation is that we all fast. He's speaking to people about the kingdom of God. As kingdom citizens, we fast. Some of you may go, "Huh, really? Do we do that?" Well, we're going to do it this week. For 3 days, we're going to do that. And here's what we're asking, what I'm asking, just what Jesus said. He says, as kingdom people, don't disfigure your face. Don't go to work and, oh, man, I'm so hungry. It's killing me. He says, listen, the Gentiles, those who don't follow the Lord, that's what they do. And they've already got the reward. They've been seen by everybody else. He says, what we do as kingdom people is we get up, we wash our face, take a shower. He says, do your hair. Russ, do what you can, bro. I'm sorry about that. That bald right there. Listen, I'm going to anoint my head. I'm going to put the oil and the gel in it, and I'm going to go about my day. You know why? Because it's not about being seen by everybody else. It's so that I'm doing this so that I can speak to the Father. I want to hear what the Father has to say. I'm foregoing some good things so that I can hear from the Father. And it's by no coincidence that he talks about fasting right before or right after he's talked about praying. Praying and fasting go together. They go together. Why did he put it right here? I believe because look at verses 19 through 25. I don't have time to teach it all. But he's going to talk to us about two treasures. He's going to talk about two eyesights. And he's going to talk about two masters. He says, listen, you can either have your treasure on earth or you can have your treasure in heaven. He says you can have, though, and he starts contrasting those. He says those who have their treasure on earth, that's where they're putting their treasure, they're blinded. And he even goes on to say they're following a god called mammon, money, the way of the world. Do you know what he says about that? And I need you to dial down for me for just a moment. This isn't a message about money, but he's using this to illustrate. Those who follow after the god of the world, the god of money, they've been blinded. They're following their master, and when they follow their master, they're showing that they're blind, and they spend their money on all kinds of crazy things. And then, you know what it does? He goes on to say, this is why you're anxious. Do you know that we live in an anxiety-filled world? We live in an anxiety-filled world. He says that they're anxious in verses 19 through 25 because he says, listen, he uses, they're worried about the longevity of their life. They're worried about their clothes. They're worried about the food they eat. They're worried about their homes. I did a little quick internet research. You know what the major things that we post about, the top things that people post about behind the number one thing people post are selfies. That should say a lot to us about why we're anxious. But you know what, behind that, you know what the order of what they post? They post about their food, they post about their homes, and they post about the new kicks, the clothes they got for Christmas. And you know what the passage just read? The passage reads this, even the Gentiles are the ones that are worried about that. This is what the Gentiles, you see, if you're not careful, what ends up happening, the master that you follow makes you anxious, or the master that you follow brings peace. The master that you follow, if you're following the master of the world, your eyes are blinded, you invest your finances, you invest your time, you invest your energy, and all the things that the world is investing in. And it eventually will leave you anxious, living lives of worried hurry. Am I the only one who's ever experienced that? This is why we pull aside and we say, Lord, these are great gifts that you've given me, but I want to forego the gifts for 3 days so I can seek after you so that my world might have a little less anxiousness in it so that you can reorder my world. Or you can follow the master of heaven. You can invest your finances, your time, your energies in the things of God where he says, then your eyes are healthy and you see light. You see so that things are ordered correctly. And when you follow that master, the anxiety level comes down. In fact, in what he says, what Jesus says is this, that you're following the Prince of Peace, the one who gives a peace that passes all understanding. Do you know that that peace has a name? His name is Jesus. So what are we doing in this time of fasting? We're pulling aside. We're going to take a little exit ramp and we're going to do some maintenance. We're going to go before the Father and we're going to forego some really good things so that we can seek after the gift giver. We're going to seek after the gift giver. This is what we're being called to today. This is why he's put this the way that he's put it. He says, listen, look in verses 25. Verse 25, verse 31, and verse 34. That's how quick I'm going to go with this. 25, 31, and 34, he gives some very direct command. And it's the same command. He says, do not be anxious. Therefore, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. He says that your heavenly Father, remember, he's speaking to people about the kingdom of God. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ in here, you've bowed your knee, you've surrendered your life, you've put your faith in him, you're in the kingdom of God. And he says this, he says, listen, don't be anxious, don't be worried, don't be toiling, don't be spinning. He says, listen, the birds of the air, they don't even have, they have nest. And the heavenly Father feeds them. There's not a sparrow that falls to the ground that he doesn't know about. The smallest of birds. He says, these lilies, they're the flowers of the field. He says, you know what? They're arrayed. The Lord God clothed them. And he compares it to Solomon, who was the wisest of all, who had more money than anybody, more money than Warren Buffett. He says, he's the wisest of all. He says, even Solomon didn't look like this. And he says, if our Father cares for the lilies and the birds, how much more is he going to care for us who are made in his image? What he's wanting us to catch is the anxiety needs to come down. And the anxiety for those of us who are in the kingdom is because we're chasing after the, I would call, as one commentator did, the Holy Trinity of the Gentiles. Food, clothing, housing. I might put our life, the length and the quality of our life. What I don't want to do here is I don't want to blow by that there are real issues and real things that we deal with. I mean, listen, clothing was a real deal. Do you know if the average person had one set of clothes in that day? I mean, like literally, they had to find food and make food daily. So this isn't about minimizing. It's about where are we, what are we seeking after? Are we seeking after the things that everyone else is seeking after? Or as kingdom people, are we seeking after the thing that we should be seeking first? First. Can I tell you that I end up many days realizing after it's too late, I've been seeking after the wrong things today. And what the way that I begin to realize that is the red light of my life starts going off. It could be anxiousness, but for me, usually it's anger, grief, anxiety, worry. Maybe you're there. Listen, this is why at the beginning of a year, a fresh start, what are we going to seek first? And so we're going to pull aside and we're going to seek the kingdom of God first. Okay, can you believe you got all of that and now I get to get to the points. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. I want to read this to you real quick. Matthew 6, 33 says this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He gives a command and he gives a promise. Let's talk about the command real quick in verse 33. And it has two parts. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So what is the kingdom of God? Basically, and I'm not going to drill deep because this week I want the Holy Spirit to drill deep into us in this passage, okay? I want you to spend time in this. But the kingdom of God on the big picture is this. It is about who's in and who's not. Who is in the kingdom of God and who is not. You remember a couple of weeks ago, I talked to you about when Jesus came out of the temptation wilderness. It says that he began to preach immediately, repent, for the kingdom of God is here. It's arrived. So this is about, are you and I in the kingdom of God? Did you realize there are people in this room right here? There were people at the 8:10. There were people last night at 5 who were in the room who aren't in the kingdom. Anytime we gather, there are people who are not in the kingdom of God. That means you've never surrendered, submitted, bowed your knee, placed your faith in Jesus Christ. Today, if that is you, that's the whole reason you've been brought here today. By a friend, by the internet, by the drive-by, whatever it is, the Holy Spirit has used that to bring you here so that you can hear today the Lord Jesus died for you so that you might be able to place your faith in him. He died, he rose again, and he ascended to heaven so that you might place your faith in him. All the things you've been trying to earn you right favor with God, all the things you've been doing that feels like you're spinning wheels, the Lord brought you here today to hear Jesus is the answer to you for your situation. I would love to talk with you more about that. I had a lady come out right after the last service, and I stood for a few minutes, 10 minutes, just talking to her about her walk with Christ. Would love to talk with you about that. But if you'll let me, I want to go on and I want to speak to you who are in the kingdom of God real quickly. If you're in the kingdom of God, I'm going to ask you, can you go back and recall in your mind when you entered the kingdom? When Jesus saved you? Do you remember when Jesus saved you? Can you, you may not have a date, but maybe you remember a time. Like, I remember this specific time. My life changed here. My life, everything changed because of Jesus. If you can't remember a time when that's happened and you're claiming to be in the kingdom, you and I need to talk. Because you may not be in the kingdom if you can't remember if your life's ever changed. You see, when we talk about change, or we don't follow, or we follow Jesus, but there's been no change, I would say this: if there's no change, there's no Jesus. And so we may need to talk. If you can remember that, we need to be thankful for that. And here's the next question I'm going to ask you. When's the last time you told somebody about you being in the kingdom of God? Like, literally, Jesus commanded us that we're to seek first the kingdom. Am I in the kingdom? And am I proclaiming the kingdom? That does not mean that I'm going to take my Bible and I'm going to beat the people over the head that I come in contact with. That doesn't mean that I have to be a Jesus jerk. That doesn't mean that I have to, like, be rude to people. What it does mean, though, is that the kingdom of God, because I'm in it, is forefront in my mindset, and I'm talking to people and figuring out, how can I talk to them about Christ? How can I talk to them about how Jesus has changed my life? Do you know what? I don't do that instinctively. That's not normally the first thing I think about. You know what I normally think about? Me. Talking about my family, my work, what I like, my football team, my sports team, my vacations. And it's usually after I leave that the Spirit then comes and goes, hey, Kyle, you never brought me into this. This is why we're pulling aside. And we're going to do a little maintenance work. Okay, Lord, I want to think about the kingdom. I want to talk about the kingdom. Who are the people? A few years ago, we did a little spiritual campaign here, and we called it Who's Your One? Some of you will remember this. Who's the one person you're praying for that the Lord will allow you to intervene in their life and speak the gospel to? You and I don't save anybody. It's the Holy Spirit that does that. But you and I are supposed to bring the gospel to bear in relationships. So who is that? Let me ask you something. This week, during our fast time, our prayer and fasting time, I hope you'll write down in your journal, Lord, I'm praying for this person. These are some things you could begin praying. Lord, I know I'm in the kingdom. I'm asking you, would you put the kingdom on the forefront of my mind? Lord, I'm asking you, would you intersect my life with someone who needs to know you as Savior? Lord, I'm asking, would you give me boldness to speak your name? Lord, I'm asking you to give me courage when you bring that person into my life. Would you let me speak? Lord, I'm asking that you would be the words that I might speak. Lord, I'm fearful. Would you give me courage? Can I make a confession to you right here? It is easier for me to proclaim the gospel right here in front of hundreds and thousands. I get really nervous when it's one-on-one. Surely I'm not the only person who faces that. Lord, I need boldness. I need courage. Folks, I want to say this to you. We want to see revival. We want to see movements. It's when we are seeking first the kingdom of God. We seek first his kingdom. He begins to do things. Notice the second thing he says, and it's a command. Not only do we seek first his kingdom, we seek first his righteousness. We seek first his righteousness. Do you know what his righteousness means? Righteousness is right living. So if you're in the kingdom of God and we're seeking his righteousness, that means we're seeking to live out his ways. We want to live out his ways. We're in the kingdom, so we want to live kingdom ways. Do you realize as an American citizen, I should be following the laws of the American Constitution, the laws of America? Ignorance of the law is no defense. You've heard that before. Listen, if we're going to follow as kingdom citizens and have the kingdom mindset at the forefront, and we're going to seek his righteousness, that means we have to know his word. That means we start our day with his word, or we bring the word to bear into our lives. It means that we read the word, we listen to the word, we sing the word, we pray the word. We get the groups of people where we talk about the word. We come to church and we sit under teaching where we hear the preaching of the word. But I want to also say this. It doesn't just mean sitting, listening, and reading. It means obeying. You remember in the book of James? In fact, Zion, when he plays the piano right here, and sometimes he plays the piano right here. But when Zion is praying before I get up, he always says this thing. If you listen to it, he says, Lord, don't let us just be hearers of the word. Let us be doers of the word. You realize that's not just a songwriter phrase. That's out of the book of James. The word tells us not just to be hearers, but to be doers. So yes, we should be hearing and reading and singing and obeying what we hear and read and sing. And when we begin to do that, when we begin to follow the command to seek first the kingdom, to seek first his righteous way of living, and to obey that and to incorporate that into our lives, did you realize that he begins to reorder all of our lives? And those things that once make us anxious, where we're going to live, the length of our life, the clothes that we're going to wear, the food that we're going to eat, he begins to reorder all of those priorities in our lives. You see, for many people, myself included, when I'm not seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness, things get out of order. And the anxiety level goes up. The worry goes up. Me chasing after things that are just of waste. They're not bad things. They're just not the greatest things. When I'm chasing after the gift rather than the gift giver, the giver of all good things. When I love a good portion of steak, listen, Jesus is the greater portion. He's the one that we're chasing after. This is what we're doing this week. We're going to seek first the kingdom of God and his right way, the way that he's called us to live. This is what a fast is all about. And I want you to see the promise. The promise is also in verse 33. It's really simple. I don't even have to spend a whole lot of time on it. Look what he says. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added to you. When Jesus says will be, that's called a promise. That's called a promise. That doesn't mean that he's going to give you more money, better clothes, and a bigger house. That means he's going to help to reorder your priorities to see that what you have is a gift from him. It's a gift from him. He says, I'm going to make sure that you are clothed, that you are fed, that you do have a house. Our responsibility, the command, is to seek first his kingdom. Seek first his right way of living. Order my life according to his word. In fact, not just me order my life, allow the Holy Spirit who is alive in me to reorder my life. You see, this isn't sheer will. This is an opportunity this week when we forego some good things to seek after the greatest gift giver, God himself. When we do that, there's going to be times where it's going to be a struggle it's going to be a struggle. And this is the opportunity that we have to say, Lord, this is difficult, but I'm seeking after you. I'm going for you. Holy Spirit, this cannot be done unless you do this in me. So, Kyle, what do you want me to do? What are you asking? Thank you. I'm going to answer that. I'm asking you. I'm calling you. I'm imploring you. I'm just offering it to be real honest with you. Would you join me in a 3-day fast? This week, beginning right after Sunday supper, I'm going to eat supper tonight, and I will not eat supper again until I take the Lord's Supper on Wednesday night. No solid food. Some of you right now are going, there's no way I can do that. I have a medical condition. Okay, I understand that. Then I want you to join me in this piece of the fast. I'm also going to forego any type of digital entertainment this week. That means I'm still going to use my computer. I've got to write a sermon. You have work. You got to use that. But that means I'm not going to be indulging myself in entertainment through my screens. Basically, taking this is really a good gift. You realize that. But I'm going to brick it. And you know what it's going to become? What it should be, a phone. If you need me, you can call me, you can text me, and I'm going to be there for you. Any of our staff. But this week, our staff is pulling aside and we're praying and we're fasting. If you can't eat food, I mean, if you have to have food because of a medical situation, that's all right. You eat. Eat. Find something else. Here, you know, I'm a news junkie. My goodness, I'm a news junkie. And this weekend, the biggest news event happened on Friday and Saturday. And now, do you realize that didn't catch the Lord off guard? That did not catch him off guard. In fact, I think he did that for me to let me know, hey, Kyle, I've been running this world for thousands of years. You can let it go for 3 days. News isn't bad, but my consumption of it many times overtakes my time with the Lord. I'm not Larry Legalist over here. You're going to get in the middle of this fast. You may even start tomorrow morning with us, and you get up and you forget and you chomp that donut. You know what? That's okay. That's okay. Finish it and say, thank God for that. Thank you. And you're going to keep moving on from there. Some of you are going to go, you know what? I already have a lunch appointment for my work that I can't do anything about. That's all right. Go to it. If you can stop it, then do it. But if you can't, you take care of it, and then you get back on. Folks, this isn't about law. This is about seeking God. This is about him and his goodness and saying, okay, I'm going to forego this so that I can meet with you. I want you. I'm seeking you first so that you can reorder everything in my life. I can't think of a better time. Here we are, the first week, the first month, brand new year. Everyone's making goals and resolutions, trying to go for the greater thing. We don't make resolutions for bad things. We make resolutions for good things. This is the opportunity for us to make goals and resolutions. Say, Lord, I want you to reorder my life. I want you to help me see. What is it that I've been going after? My mornings, I'm going to get up in the morning. My first thing, I get a cup of coffee. I'm still going to get a cup of coffee. That's like anointing my head, just to be real honest with you. I'm going to get my cup of coffee. I'm going to be foregoing my breakfast and good graces of God. I plan to drink a lot of water, a lot of juices, and just to be real honest with you, anything I can get through a straw, okay? I'm foregoing solid foods so that I can seek after the Lord. I'm foregoing digital entertainment. And can I tell you that the food may be the easiest part of that? Because when that stomach starts to growl, it's the opportunity. Lord, I need you. I need the bread that no one else sees. I need you to quench my thirst in ways that only you can do, because you're the living water. Do you know what I instinctively, I guess I should say conditioned-wise, many times when I come home at night, I sit down in my chair and I reach for a remote or a phone. This is an opportunity to say, not today. I'm going to go. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 through 34. If you are on our email list and you've not blocked us, if you're on our email list, every morning, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, you're going to get a Devo that's being sent to you. This is the time. Hopefully, you've already started your daily Bible reading for the year, what your plan is. Keep doing that every morning. There's a Devo that'll come. You can use that sometime during the day. At lunch and in the evening, I'm going to be working through Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 through 34. as a part of this, our LifePoint pastors at noon on the LifePoint YouTube channel at noon, there's going to be a devotional and an encouragement from one of the pastors Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. On Monday and Tuesday evening at around the 6 o'clock hour, 6:30 time, there's going to be a guided prayer time. Any of you remember back 5 years ago, we did the one prayer? There's going to be a guided prayer time. We're doing this at the times where the enemy will bring food, the temptation of food. And you're going to set that aside, and it gives you a tool and a weapon. I'm not going to eat again until I break it with the Lord's Supper. I want to encourage you on Wednesday night at 6:30. All of the Rutherford County churches are meeting at the Smyrna campus. I encourage you to come. I heard last week someone say, I don't know if I can get down there. Two of our deacons, Randy and Gail Howe, they are bus drivers. They own a bus. They're going to have it parked right out here. That's going to be leaving the church at 6 p.m. for students on Wednesday night, and anyone who says, I don't know if I can drive down there, I don't know where it is, it'll be here. In fact, if you'd like to jump on it, there's only 60 spots available. You can email josie@lifept.org, josie@lifept.org, and just let us know you're coming, okay? But it's going to go, and it's going to come back. This is going to be an incredible time of worship, of prayer, and breaking the fast together. When we join together, brothers and sisters, churches, and we're all seeking the Lord, and He begins to speak to us, I want you to know there'll be a difference in our church. We begin to orient our life. I'm asking you to join with us. I'm asking you to go with us. Families. You have children in our ministry, right outside the door and at every check-in station, there is a Seek First Family Fasting Guide. It's got three devotions, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, where you can walk with your child. We're not asking your child to fast from food. It may be that they get to join in on the media fast that you're in. There's a book out today called The Anxious Generation, and it talks about how our children are the most anxious of any generation out there. Much of it has to do with screens. This is an opportunity to reset, because we're going to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Today, I'm going to ask, band, worship team, would you go ahead and come on? Today, I'm going to ask, if you don't know Christ the Savior, you're going, this feels right. What He's talking about, and there's like a stirring. I'd love to talk with you. I'm going to be out the doors and to the left as you leave. Come by. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to talk to you. I'd love just to meet you. If you're a guest, I would love for you to take that next step. If you are a kingdom person, you've surrendered your life to Christ, let this be the time right here where you are deciding, you and your spouse, how is this going to work in our family? Let's pray together. Father, we love You. We honor You. I am thankful. I'm thankful for this church. And Lord, I look forward to what You're going to do in our lives. Jesus, we want this to be about You. We want to seek You first. We want to seek the kingdom of God. We want to follow Your ways. We want to trust in You. I'm asking that over these next 3 days, would You reorder our lives? Would you begin something that years from now we'll look back and say it all started right there in 2026? We trust You, and we honor You, and we magnify You alone. And it's in the name of Jesus I ask these things. Amen. Ben, you come and close.